Welcome to Beyond Our Walls, a podcast from Fellowship Bible Church dedicated to helping you engage your world as you help others follow Jesus. Join us as we hear inspiring stories of gospel transformation from our partners and missionaries. Here's your host, Jeff Geip.
Hello, Fellowship family. So good to be with you. I am in Adjumani, Uganda, and I've been here for a week now working with Peace International, and I have the privilege of having two very special guests with us. My good friend, Zeddy Mazungu. He is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Kampala. With us is Dennis Tabu. Dennis works with Peace International and has been close with Rosemary for many years, and he's also a pastor of a church. You wear many hats, Dennis.
I work for Peace International. This is my fifth year working with Peace International. I joined Peace in 2019. And I'm so happy serving God in this ministry.
And so you've got to work side by side with Rosemary for all those years.
Yes.
She's a very special person.
For sure.
She's very loved by our congregation. Every time she comes, you can see that she has many friends. And so it's such a pleasure to be partnering with you in this work.
I'm really so glad for Peace International honoring Rosemary's call, because when you look what we are doing on ground, it calls for a lot.
Yes.
A lot of prayers, a lot of financing and support, looking at the refugee children, the women, and the pastors who are just from training. I guess you people heard from their different testimonies that have been giving, and there's still a lot that we need to do.
Yes. Well, I have to tell you, being that this is my first time in Africa, it's my first time in Uganda, it's my first time in Adjumani, and it's my first time getting to see Peace International up front and close, and just seeing the school and the work with the women and all the different aspects. It surpasses my expectations by so much. I've been so moved by the hospitality and the love of the people. And so thank you for allowing my friends Eddie and I to be a part of this. And so we just did a podcast with Rosemary and Michelle and talked about the many different ministries. But what we didn't talk about was the pastors' conference. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today, meeting the pastors. And we've had, I think, around 20 pastors at this gathering. Majority of them are Sudanese refugees, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so they have their own set of challenges, living in a different country, coming here, trying to adjust to a different culture. And now they're planted churches and they're ministering to other refugees. How many refugees are there estimated in the Adjumani?
Oh, there are many. We have 19 settlements. And the Oluwawan is among the smallest settlements, which is having almost 6,000 to 700 people living in Oluwawan.
It's hard to paint a picture over a podcast, but let's just say we went to the school and there were 832 students. And to see the joy on their faces and them singing Christian songs and marching, and they even got me to dance. So we were invited down to do the pastor's conference. And the funny part of it was they asked if I would teach on marriage. I'm happy to teach on marriage, but I was blown away by the cultural differences between Africa and America. And so it was challenging, but so enlightening. And to see God wrestle with things through the pastor's hearts and minds, it's quite amazing. But then the other thing that we did is Pastor Zeddy has been bringing inductive Bible study to us. And man, everybody was so excited about that. Can you share a little bit about what inductive Bible study is for those that maybe don't know?
Yeah, in IBS, inductive Bible study is a simple and methodical way of studying the Bible, just observing the text and giving meaning to anything that stands out when you observe a text, and making the application, things that I need to respond to, you know, promises to claim, instructions to obey, directions to go, practical things to act upon as I receive from God's word. And the pastors have been very involved in the learning, and they're very eager to learn and eager to even attend more training. So we only covered half of the training for the 3 days we've been here. But for many of them, this is the only Bible training that they have ever received from the time they got here from South Sudan, or maybe this is the only Bible training they've ever received all their entire lives. And yet some of them are pastors and church leaders in so many capacities. So it has been an eye-opener for so many of them. They're very hungry to learn, eager to learn and to participate, and looking forward for more.
Yeah,
hungry and thirsty for more.
For sure.
Yeah.
I was sharing with one of the guys that I had done IBS, Inductive Bible Study, maybe over 20 years ago, and it ruined me. I could no longer sit down and just read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, because when you start thinking about observation and interpretation and an application, I was surprised today. I think it took you over an hour to go through three verses.
An hour just getting the beginning of Philippians, from verse 1 to verse 3. I just breaking down what every word is, whatever word that stands out, giving meaning to what that word is and making it simpler for the hearer in the congregation, even for us pastors ourselves, and then acting upon what the word is saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dennis, had you been through any kind of training like that before?
Yeah, at the university.
Mm-hmm.
In our preaching class, we were just using a general book, but Dr. Klammer used to just give us to read the text he gives, then you extract. Though we look at when we are making our sermon, there are two types, the expository and the flow sermon that you can make. But for the growth of the church, spiritually, you have to really make them go through expository, where you go systematically and you analyze just the way it was in that book.
So would you share with our audience just maybe a few things that most married men in the church are dealing with?
Yeah. For the past years, I've been training these pastors, being with them. Major things that marriage people face in the church. One is polygamous issues. Looking at the Dinkas setup and the refugee setup, not only the Dinkas. We have different tribes here. We have the Murule, we have the Shiluk. You will realize that most of them have gone under that trend of polygamy. And this has affected them in a way that even in serving God, there are conflict issues that comes in that they cannot resolve because they have found themselves in such a kind of situation. When we are doing trauma healing, there are topics like domestic violence, child abuse. You will realize that out of this culture thing, you will get to know that old man of 60 can marry a 15-year-old girl. That's already child abuse according to the law. And you realize if you go as a church leader and say, oh, what you're doing is a child abuse. Tell this is my culture. Now, you realize this has affected them. Even when you go to these churches, you will see few men. Majority are women and children. Because of the teaching in the Bible, that the word of God will be piercing them and make them feel inferior in the community. So you realize they don't concentrate so much in the word of God. The few you have seen here are the few who have dedicated themselves to serve God. And women and children fled the church everywhere.
One of the things I was listening to and finding so profound was the fact that they realize this is systemic in their culture. How long would you say polygamy has been a part of the African culture? From the beginning of time? I mean,
probably, yeah.
Yeah, in an agrarian type culture, they have dowries, they're pledging to buy wives through cattle and goats and this type of thing. And so it's an indication of wealth if you have multiple wives.
Yeah, wealth and prestige,
mm-hmm.
and power, and respect in the community. The more wives you have,
yeah,
they think the more respect you earn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zeddy, so you've been pastoring in Kampala for 15 years?
10 years as a senior pastor, but 15 years. Initially, I was an assistant pastor.
Yeah. Have you had to deal with polygamy much in your church, in your context?
Yes, it's prevalent in any African community. It's pretty much the norm all across the continent, that from Egypt all the way to South Africa. Obviously, with North Africa, it's kind of an influence of Islam, but in sub-Saharan Africa, it is a sign of prestige and power and wealth and all that kind of stuff. And though the trends change with the penetration of the gospel. So, for example, my grandfather had over 8, if I can remember very well. He had 55 children, and that was considered an influential, powerful, respected man in the entire district. The influence of the gospel has been so much that the younger people are monogamous. They have been taught, they have known the biblical truth, they have accepted to follow Christ and to follow what the Bible teaches. So a generation behind us, polygamy was okay. With our younger generation, us in our 30s and 40s, polygamy is looked down upon and rejected primarily because of the penetration of the gospel and the word of God in African societies.
Well, we learned today that biblical teaching is paramount. This is something that has to happen for the culture to change. And so I'm so thankful for the inductive Bible study that you were leading today, Zeddy. I think it's having a great impact because it's the word of God and then obeying the word of God. Hearing some of the pastors being so emphatic about the fact, yes, we have to do this. We have to be an example of it. How does that make you feel as a pastor?
Yeah, these are things I've been thinking about all the time when I meet these pastors. When I met these pastors, I just felt God was speaking something great, how to elevate these people. If you were to look at them, these are people who came to serve God during the war without training. Some of them came because there was some relief or to relief to give them as pastors. Now, this is the time we have to equip them with the word of God. How? We have to evangelize to them. They need to understand God and they need to know that the foundation of our faith is salvation. Because most of them, they have not confessed Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Because they believe that when you are baptized, you are now saved, you are born again, which is not true. So when you are not born again, it is very hard to allow the Holy Spirit to help you, to work in you, to transform you. And this is the message every time we meet them, we share. And I tell you, the first time we met with them, sharing with them the word of God, most of them confessed Lord Jesus Christ. But now, how do you practice it? This is where the question comes from. You may confess because we have given you the message and you found yourself in the room, but after the room, what happened?
So majority of them got the real gospel when they became refugees in Uganda and accepted the Lord as their personal savior.
We went ahead even telling them, because like in my church, after sharing the word of God, we made an altar call. Those who have not confessed Lord Jesus Christ, you can come and they help you, they lead you, you confess. And they don't do it in their church. And this gives us a very big challenge. How are we leading these people? Whom are we leading to? Is it to Jesus Christ or they're just following us blindly? And as I speak, they don't do. It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. So one of the things I look at, we have started this and God has started this work. And I want to thank God for all that he has done because Peace International was almost looking at trauma healing. But when we get in for that training, you'll find us going so deep into biblical teaching, biblical preaching, sharing, sermon, showing them how God is doing things because the trauma healing is rooted in the word of God. So you go and expound it deeper for them. So they find as if there are things that they didn't know because they even don't know how to make sermon.
Yeah, there's a gentleman in there who seems to be, he had a caller, he told me he got some theological training from Khartoum years ago, but it's like, he's never heard about how to interpret the Bible. So it's like, this is now theology to me. Whatever training I got through in Sudan, it was something else. It wasn't theology, it was something else.
Yeah. That's why you see as one of our program area for the children, every week we have a devotion with them. And these children, they have seen the difference of the devotion we conduct with them to the one they get from their church. It's not all about going and singing and dancing as a child. What Bible scripture are you carrying? And how do you understand them?
Mm-hmm.
And in the classes, when they go in the classes, the teacher will conduct with them, write a daily Bible verse. Speak a word on them like 5 minutes and pray with them. So every day a child comes in the class, he meets the word of God in the classroom. By the time the child is leaving, the word of God is there. Tomorrow morning, it is there. That's why when you look at these children, they are much more transformed compared to other children in other schools. The discipline, how they look at the Word of God, how they can pray, all of them can pray. You can even pick from class one and we'll pray for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that is one of the strategies. Now, the parents have started seeing the difference. How is this thing being done differently? Now, this is where now these pastors have to come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where they have to come in and also challenge the parents.
Because their churches are within the settlement, the refugee settlements. Yeah.
So I'm so moved by the work that you're doing down here, Dennis, you and Rosemary and the team. What I would like you to do is, why don't you tell us one thing, maybe the most important thing that the people at Fellowship could be praying for Dennis and Peace International?
Yeah. One of the things Fellowship team should pray for, I want them to pray for the grace of God, because the work we go through here with Rosemary is a very tense work. Very tense work. If you don't have the grace of God, you will leave the work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we are so special, but every time we are on our knee, praying for the children, praying for their parents, praying for the community, praying for the staff we have, praying for our donors. We are ever praying. I've been telling Rosemary, there's nothing impossible with God. There is nothing impossible with God. Even where we seem to see that there is no way, God will create a way there. I know even the stakeholders like the government and the office of the prime minister and the UNHCR, they are shocked because they give a lot of money to other secular partners, but you can't see their result. This year, after the pre-PLE results, our school is in the settlement marked the 8th in the district. Out of all this private school and out of all the settlement, we are number 8 among the best 10. So out of the 24 candidates we had, 8 of them got first grade. And the whole settlement got 14 plus 8 of ours. That means they had how many?
The majority.
Yes. So it was a very big challenge to other partners. But still, we hold our value. One of our key values we hold is God. We have to know God, even anything that we do. We trust God. The children should know God. The community we serve, they should know God. With God, there is nothing impossible.
Thank you. Amen.
So just pray with us.
Mm-hmm.
Do anything that you can do as far as any support is concerned. I know there is a great purpose why God has placed Peace International to your ministry. And I believe our God does not disappoint.
That's awesome. And Zeddy, I have to tell you, it's been so much fun having you and to know that I think Rosemary likes you better than me now. That's a little disconcerting, but I think I'll get over it.
Be comforted.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you are wanting to come back and to continue to minister. Maybe January to complete or try to complete the IBS course?
Yes. One of the things that generally God has put in my heart is training pastors and leaders. That's pretty much what we do in our church. We have a Bible college that has been running for over 20 years. We've graduated hundreds who have become church planters and all over the country. So a number of them are actually serving in Northern Uganda, in Midigo and Yumbe and Arua. The pastors up here, some of them actually were sent down there years ago for training. They returned and planted churches. So it's my desire to keep coming, maybe twice a year to do some biblical training. I'm looking forward to come back in January and finish up the IBS and do other sets of training, things like apologetics, how to defend the faith, systematic theology, the fundamental doctrines of the Bible, key books of the Bible, Genesis and, Psalms and Daniel, the history of Israel, the gospel, one of the gospels, church history, prophecy, to give them and equip them as much as possible for the work of their ministry, for the work of pastoring their, churches in the settlement. And God willing, they will someday return home to their home country and they will carry on that work.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, you guys, this has been really wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And we will be praying for you, Dennis, and Zeddy, for sure be praying for you, and we'll be talking more. Yeah, so thank you so much for the time.
Well, thanks for inviting us for the pastor's training this week.
Very good. All right, Fellowship, talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Our Walls, a podcast from Fellowship Bible Church. For more information on our outreach ministry, visit fellowshipbiblechurch.org. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, let's follow Jesus together and help others do the same.